John Decker, our White House correspondent, on. He's going to be talking about this. It's interesting, an Israel Holocaust remembrance ceremony. President Biden, and you know, really, the Biden administration is walking a tightrope here diplomatically, John, because you have Netanyahu serious sort of defying the U.S., saying they're going to go into Rafah, they're going to end the Hamas militant hold there, they say. And of course, Joe Biden's trying to balance things. But John, I think all these agitators, including last colleges, even in New Hampshire, should be sent to the Holocaust Museum post commencement that they've canceled for a few days in Washington, D.C., the museum. But take it away, John.
Well, that's right. That's a good segue. President Biden will give the keynote address at an event that will take place in the U.S. Capitol today associated with Holocaust Remembrance Day. And you're right. If you ever come to Washington, D.C., to me, one of the best things that you can do is to visit the National Holocaust Memorial Museum here in Washington, D.C. Very moving. It's not your typical tourist stop. And it's a reminder of the evil that existed that led to the Holocaust, killing 6 million Jews in World War II. So the president certainly will discuss that. He'll talk about the rising tide that we see in some of these protests of anti-Semitism. And he'll also discuss the ongoing war between Israel and Hamas. So I'll be paying a lot of attention to the president's remarks, which will be delivered a little bit later this morning at the U.S. Capitol.
And, John, I know you're a student of history, and I'm being totally serious when I say this and not in a commentary mode at all. John Decker, our own White House correspondent. It is a tightrope diplomatic walk the Biden administration is trying to walk right now. They're fully cognizant of the pro-Palestinian movement and protest on college campuses within the Democrat Party, his own party. At the same time, when push comes to shove, the Biden administration, Secretary of State Blinken, in my humble opinion, they stand with Israel, and they don't want to tolerate anti-Semitic behavior, which I agree with them. So it is a diplomatic tightrope walk for President Biden and his key players.
Oh, you're absolutely right. It is, when you factor in that it's a political year, Jack, you know, and this tightrope is taking place at a time when you want to have your entire base unified. Right now, it's not unified. A lot can happen in the next 6 months, of course. You know, we could see a ceasefire. We could see an end of the violence in the Middle East. But as things stand right now, there is division in the Democratic Party because of the far left, the progressives in the party. And then, of course, traditionally, you have a very strong relationship between the U.S. and Israel that exists within the Democratic Party. So there's division, and the president needs to address that in the speech that he will deliver later this morning.
All right, John, enjoy the remembrance. Thank you, John Decker. You're respected. Thank you, our own White House correspondent. Michael Graham, NH Journal, NewHampshireJournal.com. Interesting stories coming out of UNH and some of the stories there, Michael, and how they define law enforcement, some of these protesters, albeit a small number of the student body. Take it away, Michael.
Well, the big story is that last week you had UNH students and off-campus activists try to set up an encampment. And as President James Dean, yes, he really is, Jack, President Dean. I just love that. I wish he would be Chancellor Dean so it could be completely confuse us. But he warned them, and the UNH police chief, who's also named Dean, warned them no encampments. And so as soon as the tents started going up, the police moved in and started removing them, and about 12 people were arrested. So yesterday's protest was nominally about Israel and Hamas and Gaza, but the rhetoric that our reporter found there at NHJournal.com was mostly about the cops. They were very mad that people were arrested, that they were getting in trouble. And one of the professors of gender studies said that the police made them feel unsafe. This is Siobhan Sinir. Maybe we should be cutting police budgets because they don't keep us safe. And then a grad student who was arrested and is facing charges said it was terrible that he's a father, he's got children, and they've done this thing to him. He's never felt so afraid in his life. What he didn't mention, Jack, is that he was charged with assaulting a police officer because he grabbed the police chief. You remember this from your drunken college days, Jack. When you throw a punch, you don't throw it at the police chief. You throw it at some rank officer that maybe is already in trouble with the department. So just to make sure that you got, because there was also chance of free Palestine and long live the Intifada. the usual stuff. They did refer to the American flag as the MAGA flag. But the chant that stood out at NHJournal.com was when they wrapped up their gathering with, "Oink, oink, piggy, piggy, we will make your life less pleasant." And so they were calling the cops. It really is 1968 all over. No wonder you're in love with RFK Jr. It's 1968 all over again.
It feels like it, doesn't it? And that was before social media. No, Michael, I don't know. I guess the only good news is the college year is almost over for most part. What about commencement plans?
No,
what about
sorry.
Commencement?
The Rockefeller, Soros, and I forget the other big name that's funding this. That money is going to continue.
What's the plans for UNH commencement? Commencement normal?
They have not changed plans as far as their public reporting. We've not had any public reporting that they're changing their plans. But I just want to make a point, Jack. Everyone's thinking, well, at least it'll all be over once we've canceled all the commencements like Columbia is doing.
Yeah.
By the way, President Dean had a great point. He said that that people told him, just leave the encampment up. And he said, if I did, I'd be looking out my window across the lawn with this huge encampment as commencement approaches. I'm betting Columbia University wishes they'd done what we did. I think he's right. But forget commencement season. They've got another date that's going to keep them organized and protesting, and that is the Democratic National Convention in Chicago in August. So this is going to continue until at least August. And USA Today had an interesting story, Jack. Republicans latch on to campus chaos issue. It's another version of the old Republicans pounce line. There's no latching. This is happening. Yesterday, two candidates for Congress, Holly Novoletsky and Russell Prescott, showed up at the protest to support the counter-protesters who are waving American flags. In fact, Holly Novoletsky said, "I'm Jewish, I brought food." And she gave the protesters cookies. There was not a single Democrat there. We have repeatedly asked the Democrats running for governor. Governor Sununu has called out the Democrats running for governor. Grow a backbone. Denounce the anti-Semitism. You don't have to say you oppose free speech or oppose protesting. You don't have to say that you oppose illegal protesting. But call out the anti-Semitism of Long Live the Intifada, which is celebrating a 20-year-long terror attack that killed more than 1,000 Israelis. Say that you oppose From the River to the Sea, Palestine shall be free, which means no Jews in what is currently Israel. And neither Cindy Warmington nor Joyce Craig will do that. As Congress debates laws that might withhold student debt bailouts, if you've been convicted of a crime during an anti-Semitic protest, we want to know. Chris Pappas seems open to that idea. What about the Democrats running for Congress, like Colin Van Ostern, like State Senator Becky Whitley? And
again,
their answer is no comment.
Yeah.
They have not, Jack, said a single word. Go to their social media feed right now. It's been 2 weeks, not a single word from the Democrats running for office in New Hampshire.
Because they're walking that tightrope. They don't want to upset the far left side of their own base.
All we can do is speculate when they won't answer questions. So that's part of the deal. Also, Jack, what are you doing 6 months from today?
Is it a vote? Is it a little election coming up?
You are voting. You are voting. This is the Tuesday. It's 26, 27 Tuesdays. I think I got that math right. From today, we are at the six-month point. And we have a great podcast interview at NHJournal.com with the pollster David Paleologos, who makes an interesting point. Everyone says the cliche, you know, whatever, 2 weeks is an eternity in politics, a day is an eternity in politics. He says time is very short. He says once you take out the 2 months of summer where people really tune out except for political junkies like Jack Heath and Michael Graham, once you take out 3 weeks for early voting to start, and then once you add in the fact that you have the two best-known candidates ever in history. Everybody has already had a President Trump and a President Biden, so there's not a lot of movement. I thought Neil Levesque had an interesting quote in our story, which, by the way, if you subscribe to our newsletter for free at nhjournal.com, it pops up in your email box every morning. He made a point about time. Everyone thinks that there's a lot of time, but Neil Levesque at the New Hampshire Institute of Politics said time is a terrible variable in politics because time doesn't mean movement. And I think it's safe to say there are not a lot of movable voters in this election.
Yeah. Interesting. Michael Graham, always interesting. Food for thought and then some. Thank you, NHJournal.com.
Hey, do you want your last little bit of good news, Jack?
What's that?
Your boyfriend, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., may be the first person to win an electoral college vote without being a major party candidate in, well, I won't tell you how long because that's one of the trivia questions we had on the podcast. He could win an electoral college vote from Maine. Your listeners right now in Maine.
Yeah.
Because they use ranked choice voting. So Biden's going to win Maine, but if Kennedy comes in second, the Trump votes are going to roll to Kennedy. They could give him enough to win one of the electoral college votes in Maine.
Well, that's nice and a tad obscure, but what about New Hampshire? He's not going to win New Hampshire, but if he gets 12-15% here, he's going to affect who does.
I will put $100 in an envelope right now with your name on it, Jack, if you will do the same with my name on it. Joe Biden is going to do what every Democrat has done going back to 1992, save one, and win New Hampshire in the general election.
Interesting. Well, independents might disagree with you. Thank you, Michael.
How about this? How about this? I will donate $100 to your veterans' charity efforts if Biden doesn't win. If you will donate $100 to the Fisher House Foundation, which operates a House for
that's
Wounded
good,
Warriors
that's,
in Maine,
that's
how
a good
about
bet.
That?
That's a good bet.
You got
J-Dog. J-Dog
got
will be the referee.
House. Let's write it down. Mark the tape. Let's
Thanks,
do
Thanks, buddy. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mike Cody, he's the editor of New Hampshire Business Review, New Hampshire Magazine, on some business thoughts on this Tuesday. Beautiful day out there Tuesday morning. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Jack. How are you?
I'm doing okay for a Tuesday. What do you have? What are you covering? What are you noticing? What are we missing?
Well, you know, I always look to connect the dots, right? We look at various trends and see how they spill over into other places. There was a Pew Research study on remote working. Research Center had some stats, and we also got our own stats to compare. From the pandemic, there was maybe 55% of people that were working remote were home most of the time. Now it's about a third, maybe a little more than that, 35%. So people are still working from home, doing the hybrid thing, but it may have calmed down a bit as employers have tried to push workers to go back. But at the same time, there's still a lot of people doing that. We had a poll, 1,000 people respond to a New Hampshire Business Review poll. 68% said they primarily work in a home office or other designated space within their house or apartment. Some of them do it on the road while traveling or in a coffee house. And, you know, I look at that information, I see, okay, working remote is kind of adjusted a little bit, but still really strong. And I look at Union Leader's story on the front page from Bloomberg about the Massachusetts so-called mansion tax, where Massachusetts wants to impose a transfer fee of 0.5% to 2% on property sales taxes exceeding $1 million. And among the entities not in favor are commercial property owners who are already facing high vacancy rates, you know, particularly in office buildings, as we've seen in Manchester, where some of these have been converted to apartments. So, you know, the remote working has consequences throughout the economy. And whether or not this is going to happen in Massachusetts, it's already happening in California, debatable whether or not that has the impact they intend.
Yeah, it's interesting. I appreciate that because, you know, I'm looking at – it's interesting, though. By the way, did you get a chance – I don't know if you saw this. I know it just sort of came out the – what's your reaction? Because you do a lot of these rankings that you and U.S. News and World Report on New Hampshire, number two in the country. I know you're probably not surprised.
Number two for?
Overall. Best state
yeah.
to live
yeah.
In the United States. Best state, number two in the country.
You know, New Hampshire and southern New Hampshire, various places, you know, we've had like the best cities. Manchester's popped up a number of times. Certainly New Hampshire, I mean, we're the quality of life is strong here. Doesn't surprise me. Unemployment is low. We certainly have problems, you know, with housing and workforce, but New Hampshire leads the way in so many respects.
Yeah. Any other business insights? It just seems, I know affordable housing is still a very big deal. Mike Cody, New Hampshire Business Review, New Hampshire Magazine, very big deal. Affordable housing, very hard. I'm just looking at some of the other trends. But overall, it seems we're going into May. It seems that consumer is still resilient. I mean, restaurants seem busy and full. You're looking, interest rates don't like they're coming down. If you look at a barometer into the summer and fall, you seeing any big slowdowns locally or kind of more of the same?
I don't think so. I mean, I think we'll, you know, the gas prices go up and down. You know, we're in an election year. We'll see what happens with how people react to that. But I think we're doing all right. We've seen some softening. You know, the national job market softened a little bit this past like month or so, I guess, the last quarter. But overall, I think people are still optimistic. we're certainly much better off than we were coming out of the pandemic and still making some adjustments. But I see it within, you know, at the events I go around to town, there's still, you know, people are going to charity events and supporting local nonprofits and getting out there and networking.
Yeah, interesting. All right, good stuff, Mike Cody. I know you got some stuff going on. Appreciate it. Enjoy the summer-like weather before May showers arrive. Thank you, Michael.
Thanks a lot, Jack. Take care.
Aaron Rial, NBC News Radio national correspondent, talking about this story is when buying a home becomes a national security threat in Florida, looking at a law to limit or ban Chinese citizens from buying real estate. Is it just one home or large amounts of properties, Aaron? Take it away.
Large amounts. So there's this new Florida law, and it's prohibiting these Chinese citizens, not individuals with green cards and not Americans of Chinese descent, but Chinese citizens, they cannot buy property near military outposts, airports, refineries, or large swaths of agricultural land. It went into effect in July, and more than three dozen, actually, other states have enacted similar laws or considering some. They say that China is a growing threat to national security, and if the federal government is going to sleep on it, the states are not. And know what? It's not a completely hollow argument. We know that in Montana and Iowa, there have been Chinese investments in large swaths of agricultural land and territory near military installations. And the big fear here is that our food supply here in America could be throttled if China decides to, and that the land could be used as a spy post. Now, all of that said, Jack, residents of Chinese descent, Americans, folks who have fought for America in wars, they say that they are facing discrimination when they've tried to buy a home. A lot of civil rights groups and Asian American groups are aware of this. They say that people of Chinese descent feel this anti-China sentiment intensifying, and this law is currently being challenged in federal court. Sadly, This is as old as America, where the newest swath of immigrants feels unwelcome.
Well, and that also coming off the TikTok ban by Congress, you know.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Aaron Rial, NBC News Radio national correspondent. Thank you, Aaron.
Thank you.
Alicia Preston Xanthopoulos, Seacoast Online. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you? And yes, I care. Don't say it.
You're so disingenuous.
I'm not, though.
You're not?
No, I'm not disingenuous.
Jack, you must be talking about yourself.
No, it's all about you, though.
No, I'm asking how you are.
You're the only person today who's asked and gives a damn. You know, but the thing, you were like that kid in high school or college. You only asked your buddies how they did on the math exam to see if they did worse than you.
No, because I always did best. But
well, that's because your late great mom was a great teacher.
She was a great teacher. She taught me well.
So what
but
would
I,
she?
I care.
So what would she think? Your mom and you, you know, protest is fine. And UNH, there was some arrests last week. I think 15. We had the governor on the next day. More up at Dartmouth, under the auspices of pro-Palestinian. But what would your mom think if students today we're saying, and this is Michael Graham, New Hampshire Journal Attribution, blaming the police for the arrest last week, piggy, piggy, piggies, piggy, piggy, piggies. Would she think we're back in the 1960s?
Can you imagine? And my mother was, you know, in college in the 1960s. But I think she'd take her 5'1" little self up to the UNH campus and smack the kid's hand who laid it on a police officer. I mean, this is unbelievable. I don't know if you saw, there's an almost 30-year-old who was arrested, and he's charged with enhanced misdemeanors. He could face up to 5 years in jail, prison, for assaulting a police officer and other crimes. And he comes out, and he's whining yesterday in the press that I'm scared. I'm about to celebrate my 5-year wedding anniversary. My daughter's about to turn 3. I'm supposed to graduate and turn 30 this year, and now it all may be ruined. And I'm going, you have a wife, a child, you're about to get your PhD, which will help with your future and your career to help your family, and you jeopardize all of that for what?
And by the way, you did this. You have some personal responsibility. You did this student. You did this.
Yeah. You assaulted a police officer and you put your family's future in jeopardy for something I'm willing to bet you don't know anything about. And by the way, you're holding your river to the sea signs, you're chanting Hamas tropes. I want one of these kids to tell me they know anything about gay rights or women's rights in the Gaza Strip. Because I guarantee these idiots have stood out there and railed against the Dobbs decision and demanded women's rights and demanded rights for gay couples and marriage. And you're supporting people who will stone women and LGBT members to death for being them. It boggles my mind, the absolute lack of information, education, and sheer ignorance among these people.
Okay, what did you say? The same 30-year-old who's whining about getting himself arrested, he was saying Hamas, he was being pro-Hamas, death to Israel?
Well, no, I'm not saying he personally. He was out there
pro-Palestinian,
anti-Israel. I'm talking about these groups as a whole.
Death to Israel, chanting, Hamas. But Alicia, one good thing is it's almost over the college year. But, you know, you were talking about your own kid in college. I feel bad for the kids that aren't, you know, kind of all upside down and trying just to study and learn and have a safe environment and not be hateful. And because they kind of got screwed over a few years ago with all the virus policies. And a lot of these commencements are being canceled now.
Oh, which isn't that a shame? Commencements that are canceled this year are the exact same group of students, presuming they went 4 years, that had their commencements from high school canceled. And, you know, Rena texted me this morning. She had a 7:30 final exam. She's stressed out about it. She has to walk, and she has to go by these protesters and the chants. And she's like, don't these guys have finals? And she's like, what are they doing? I'm just trying to get to class. And that's what she's like, don't they have finals too? What are they doing? And the vast majority of kids on these college campuses are not participating in that. I heard you mention something like that. This is a small group, but they are disrupting it for everybody else.
Well, you know what? It takes a small group to ruin it for the most. I mean, and you know, I'm wondering some of these, the students, not the paid adults going in there to stir it up more, the professional agitators. By the way, did you come up with the term agitator? Did you trademark that?
I should. Yeah, I'm going to say yes, even though it's not true, because who else is going to do it? Yeah, that's my term.
But can you imagine the kiddies, the ones who are like actual students, imagine them going out and getting a job?
I know.
Anyway, hey, let's switch gears.
What do you got?
Stormy Daniels in the Trump hush money trial today in Manhattan. Do you think Saturday Night Live is going to do a skit on this? I mean, what about ratings here? Can you believe this?
I know one thing that all of us can agree on. MAGA Republicans, non-MAGA Republicans, Democrats, Independents, we all agree today. We wish there were cameras in the courtroom.
Unbelievable.
I know.
I mean, you know. You know me, and you would say in jest, and I don't take it wrong, that I'm a little bit, a little bit of contrarian or a little bit of a maybe commonsensical wise guy, but I don't want to offend anyone. I'll say wise they. But here's my point. You wake up this morning. Beautiful day out there, by the way. Sunshine, nice. You could almost go out and sit in the beach today or in front of your house. Beautiful day. Not almost, you could. And you get Vladimir Putin installing himself again. You know, they call it an inauguration. Installing himself, the great Vlad. You get Stormy Daniels in a hush money case trial of the former president, presumptive Republican nominee. You get Joe Biden, who I think respectfully and correctly so, by the way, is remembering the Holocaust today with a ceremony. So I give Biden credit. I really do. And you got these student agitators out there on college campuses basically glorifying in some cases, to the extreme, a terrorist organization, Hamas, anti-Israel, and I don't know what else we're missing, but it's just, you can't make this stuff up.
You can't, but look, and I wrote about this last week for those who want to see my column in Seacoast Online, you got to look to the positive. Everything's dividing us. The Trump trial is dividing us. These protests and what's going on in Gaza and Israel is dividing. Everything's dividing the economy. There's one thing that has brought everybody together, other than the desire for a camera in the courtroom today. And that is a dog named Cricket. Isn't it amazing that all the things that divide us, it took a little dog named Cricket, murdered by a governor in South Dakota, to bring Americans together. And so I find that uplifting. Not the death
now,
of the dog.
Now you're being
something that can bring us together.
Now you're being the character. Hey, what does this say to you? I just had some commentary earlier. Governor Sununu will be on the show tomorrow. He put out a release on this new U.S. News and World Report. I'm glad they're still around. New Hampshire, ranking New Hampshire, beating all 48 of the 50s. Number two, the second best state to live in the country. And some of the barometers weren't just economic, free, you know, access, quality of life, low crime rate. But there were about three or four things on safety. And I'm beginning to wonder, as November, 6 months from now, people will be voting. I'm beginning to wonder, law and order, speaking of these college campuses, law and order is mattering to more and more people who are moving from states and big cities. Have you noticed this?
Yeah, of course. Well, yeah. I think some of it is how the local state governments work in other places. Some of it is the people, though. I mean, New Hampshire people are very independent. I'm not talking politically. We don't rely on our government to keep us safe and secure. We police each other in a way of keeping things in order. We take care of each other. We're very independent-minded, and we protect ourselves and others. And so I think some of it is just the society, how we work in New Hampshire. We don't rely on others to do for us what we should and can do for ourselves.
Yeah, but I think there's more to it. And
I think there's a lot to it, yeah.
Well, no, what I'm saying, you look at this country today, New Hampshire, okay, here's a good example because we have some time. Why wasn't Maine up there? You know, let me make the case to you. Maine's a bigger state physically, about the same population. They got a bigger coastline. They don't have as many white, 4,000-footers in the White Mountains. They have Mount Katahdin. You got this huge state. Why isn't Maine higher up? You know, we have no income, no sales tax. Our lawmakers are pretty much volunteer legislators as a messenger for Washington. We have really good fiscal management, pro-business environment, low crime rate. Do you want me to keep going? Do you see where I'm going with this? And
yeah,
it's a model. You know, when I see young families in their late 30s and 40s coming to New Hampshire to watch their kids walk down the street to go to school, like a Norman Rockwell painting, I think that's pretty cool. But they left states and cities where they couldn't do that. Why? We look at America, what's wrong? Look at the governing and the policies in a lot of these states is driving people away.
Well, it is. And I think it's a component of many things. It's a component of government. It's a component of who the people are and what they want from life.
Yeah.
And, you know, I live in Hampton, so we have a lot of people up from Massachusetts. And I always say to them when I see things or I write about it or I talk about it, you know, don't leave what you left to come here because you think it's better and try make us into you.
Or remember why you left there.
Right. Well, that's the thing. And
yeah.
it drives me crazy up here. You know, you left Massachusetts because of the taxes and the government and the control and the overregulation and blah, 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 blah. And then you come here and want to know why all the multitude of weird services you had down there, you don't get here and you want to get them up here, which would raise our taxes.
Yeah.
It don't try to make here what you left there for a reason. And I think most adapt.
Yep, and you know, Alicia, before I let you go, Seacoast Online, Alicia Preston Xanthopoulos, she'll tell you how you can check out her stuff. You still doing your podcast, by the way?
I am still doing a podcast.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, because, J-Dog and I haven't been invited to be guests yet. I just didn't know if you were still doing it. But listen.
hey, noted, Jack.
Listen, it's interesting when, I look at what's happening. Because I do think, especially at Columbia, I've been saying this for a while, and I said it last time you were on. This is not so much about pro-Palestinian or under the auspices peace. And guys, when you start breaking into buildings and talking and chanting death to Israel, tear down American society, this is anti-American behavior. This is at the root of it, this is anti-American. But law enforcement, you know what's interesting? When I taught you mentioned Hampton, and you do get an influx in the summer, Hampton police, great folks. I think even the great Chris Vetter is now working with your Hampton police. But law enforcement in New Hampshire in the last couple of years, this anti-police sentiment, it's not just new. The students at UNH last night, according to Graham, they weren't just saying piggy and blaming law enforcement last week for the arrest, piggy, calling them that. Huh. This anti-police sentiment has been brewing for years in this country. It's caused a recruitment crisis. Who wants to become a police officer these days? But when I talk to police in New Hampshire, you know what they say, Jack? When I talk to colleagues in other states, especially big states and cities, they feel like they're a target every day out there. At least here in New Hampshire, we do feel like, and I would think and I hope Maine, maybe Vermont, we do feel like the public does, for the most part, appreciate what we do and they have our back. But they say we don't hear that in other places.
Oh, and that's unfortunate. I mean, can you imagine sending your kid to college and then finding them on video saying piggy, oink, oink to law enforcement officers? I would be beside myself. They are out there every day, even in New Hampshire where crime is low. They are putting themselves at risk every single day out there, and they're doing it to keep people safe. I saw a kid, I think it was Columbia, not sure, but interviewed and said once the police were on campus, well, some of the students feel unsafe because the police are here. You don't have a clue what you're saying, bro. Like, they're there to keep you safe, even though you're oinking at them. How about that?
And by the way, in some places, after some of the terrible violence in public schools and elementary schools, people, we need to take the police resource officer out of the school, making my kid feel uncomfortable. Oh, my goodness.
How about you train your kid that they should feel more comfortable with a uniform standing nearby?
Thank you. APX, best way for people to check out your stuff is?
You can see it on Seacoast Online, and you can always email me if you're interested in a topic or other information at PrestonPerspective@gmail.com.
Is that psquared.com?
Psquared.com.
Thank you, buddy.
Have a great day.
Rory O'Neill, our own NBC News Radio national correspondent. Rory, I just have to say, Rory, you can't make this stuff up. Unbelievable. Stormy Daniels in court. Gag orders, hush money. Do you think this is going to be a skit on Saturday Night Live, Rory?
I was amazed it wasn't on this past week and that this topic didn't come up as a skit itself. But that just shows you how significant it is that there are no TV cameras in the courtroom, because we're not getting a better feeling of what it's like inside that courtroom as things are unfolding. I actually took notice of the fact that there was no SNL skit about this trial this weekend.
I bet you this week there might be, but can you imagine being in that courtroom today, Stormy Daniels, the ratings on CNN, they're going to play this all, probably for the next week.
Well, yeah, imagine, though, if there were cameras allowed or microphones as well, but it is going to be interesting to see just how far they let Daniels go and tell about this story, this relationship she claims happened, because it really doesn't focus on the crime at hand. I mean, other than being sensational, not really about the business bookkeeping crime or the campaign violations that prosecutors say happened. She's got quite a story to tell, but I'm not sure it really relates to the criminal charges.
And, of course, no one knows 6 months from now what the impact will be, politically speaking, in the election. Rory O'Neill, NBC News Radio, national correspondent. Thank you, Rory.
Thanks, Jack.
Going to switch gears completely. This is a fun topic because on a day like today, you can actually think about going out and doing some tuna fishing. Now, tuna fishing is pretty serious. I'm just a mackerel striper guy, but I'll tell you right now, it all happens. It's going to all happen at the end of July, the last few days, July 27th. It's the Tuna Open. It's a first-time ever event. We're Swim of the Mission under that umbrella to help our veterans. Phil Taub, of course, co-founder with his great partner, Julie, Swim of the Mission in our studios with a couple of his main drivers and folks who have great businesses, but they care about our veterans. They're involved with Swim of the Mission on the board level and organizing this event. We're also a media sponsor, and we're helping to support it. I'm going to let Phil Taub, you're a pro, run with it. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning, Jack. It's so great to be on your show. We really appreciate it. Appreciate everything you do for our veterans. And, yeah, we are so excited for our first ever Fish with a Mission. I'm just going to say at the outset, if folks are listening and interested in a tuna pro-am, go to swam.org, S-W-A-M.org. There's a pop-up right there. It's right there on our events. And I'm so happy to be in your studio here, Jack, with two of our board members, Todd Wheatley from Candor Realty and Mark Aquilino from Outdoor Pride, two top businesses in New England. This is one of the most amazing things about our board, Jack, just filled with some of our top business leaders, which has helped Swim with a Mission just really sort of accelerate, whether it's fundraising, putting on new events, and so forth. But I'm going to ask Mark first, Jack, if you don't mind, to tell us a little bit about what we're planning here in our first ever Fish with a Mission. Mark.
And thank you, Mark.
Yeah, thanks for having us, Jack. So we're super excited. This is more exciting than Stormy Daniels being in the courtroom, okay? This is real exciting.
I agree.
This is on the New Hampshire seacoast. We're super excited. It's going to be July 27th through August 2nd out of the Yankee Fishermen's Co-op in beautiful Seabrook, New Hampshire. And we are super excited. We've got boats lined up to fish this. We've got everything from weekend warriors to commercial fishermen. We've got people coming from Portland, Maine, all the way down to Cape Cod. And they are super excited about getting involved in this, and so are we.
How can the public get involved now in terms of tell us the who, what, when, where? I know there's going to be viewing opportunities, public interaction with the Navy SEALs on the boats as well as public people and tuna fishermen. What about sponsorship, public? What are you looking for? More boats? Tell us, Mark.
Yeah, that's a great question, Jack. So we're obviously looking for more boats, right? The more boats, the bigger the purse, the bigger the money, right, which is the excitement that lies in the tuna fishing. Additionally, we are looking for sponsorships. We have different levels of sponsorship from $15,000 to $10,000 to $5,000 all the way down to in-kind donations. We've got a great group of people already committed at different sponsorship levels, and that's really what it takes to raise the money for our veterans.
Yeah, it really is. It's going to be a lot of fun. Phil, let's just open it up.
Yeah, I would love to get Todd involved in this discussion. And, you know, I get asked this a lot, so I'm going to ask Todd this question. You know, the question is the why. Why are we doing these events? What is this all about?
Yeah, Phil and Mark, great tee up there on the event. And for those that know us at Swim with a Mission, our mission is very clear, right? We're trying to raise a tremendous amount of money for our service veterans, service men and women, and really make New Hampshire the best state for veterans to live and work. And so in that theme, we're always looking for new opportunities to get the Swim with a Mission message out there, attract new sponsors, new participants in these events to supplement and complement our core events that happen in the summertime. And when we got hooked up with the Yankee Fishermen's Co-op in Seabrook, immediately we felt a passion for the veteran community in the Seacoast and in the fishing community. And we knew right away, I think Mark and I and Phil, we had our first meeting with the co-op and some of the organizers over there. And right away, we could sense that this community was going to rally around our veteran community that wanted to pull off a top-notch event. So we could not be more excited about this first, you know, this first event between the sponsorships, the partnerships, and just the volunteers that have been kind of boots on the ground to help prep so far. I think the next the next couple months is going to be exciting, and the event is going to be really amazing.
And Todd, this is the Phil. This had been a big tournament when I talked to the tuna captains. This tournament in Seabrook had been a big deal, and we're talking real prize money. And I have some buddies who are tuna fishermen that just one rod and reel are not cheap, let alone running the boat and all that goes into it. So it takes money to tuna fish, but this is just a great concept. And I'm just thinking, the Seacoast is going to be buzzing, and the public can take part. But you know, this is good for a business to get involved with, right? Because if you're a company, it's something for your employees to go maybe that day be a part of. You're helping veterans. The dollars are not that much. Phil, tell us the level of some of the sponsorship. I think the deckhand is a good one for some businesses out there, but your whole team can go and watch and enjoy summer with Navy SEALs and tuna.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right, Jack. And listen, at the right price, I'm pretty sure Mark Aquilino will take you out on his own personal boat. So we'll just throw that out there, Jack. Or maybe, Jack, you'll take them out on your boat, right?
Yeah, and, no, it's fun. Yeah, no, I love it. We'll be out there, yeah.
It'll be terrific. But listen, I will tell you, every single $1,000, $2,500, $5,000 adds up so fast, Jack. It's amazing how quickly that turns into real money. So the deckhand's a $5,000 level. It's probably our most popular right now. I know that Outdoor Pride stepped up at $15,000. A number of other folks are matching them. So there's lots of opportunities here, and I agree, even if you don't participate in the tournament, come out and watch. There's nothing like watching the fishermen come back with those enormous, enormous tuna.
Yeah.
They're all going to get weighed right there at the Seafood Co-op. If anybody has been down there, it's right on the main drag in Seabrook as you cross over the bridge. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of parking. There's going to be, you know, we'll have food trucks. Our good friend Sal Lapoli is going to have some, you know, Sal's Pizza out there.
Right.
And there'll be music, and the SEALs will be hanging out, and there's going to be a lot for the public to do. It's the end of July, so it's a great time for tourists. It's just going to be one of those amazing festivals. And for our sponsors, that's a lot of signage on a main road with hundreds of thousands of people going by there.
Best way to inquire on sponsoring, I know you got your team there, Mark and Tom. Best way, Phil, is go to the site, or do you want to give a phone number? How can they follow?
Just go to our site, swam.org, SWAM.org. It's all right there under events. There's a pop-up there right now, actually, so you don't have to do any work. And we
Fish
hope
with a Mission. I
boats
love it.
Will sign up and sponsors. It's
right.
Going to be so exciting.
And, you know, through the show and you and all the New Hampshire, we know for many years now, because of Swim with a Mission, which is an incredible story, the SEALs come up for the swim at Newfound Lake, the racing on the water that you've done events around. But this is a totally new, separate event from that, and it's over several days, right, Phil?
Yeah, there's 3 days of fishing. We're going to pick them out of 5 days because obviously weather permitting. But it starts on the 27th of July, goes for 5 days, and of those 5 days, 3 days of people will be allowed to go out and fish. So. It is. I mean, just having that, and then, you know, there'll be a captain's dinner. Jack, we're very grateful that the Elks Club and you are going to put together an event on one of those nights. There'll be a wrap up. Yeah, on the Tuesday there'll be a wrap up dinner. And so I Listen, I say this humbly. I think it's going to be the place to be that
week, in New Hampshire.
Mean,
no offense to going to the Masters or going to a program. Navy SEALs, boats and tuna and sun and the ocean. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. More of how you get involved and what's involved on Good Morning New Hampshire, the Pulse of an Ace. One of the discussions Phil Taub and I have had in the past is to make New Hampshire the most veteran-ready, veteran-friendly state. And some of the great missions coming up, including in Franklin, that so many folks, including Phil and the governor and Veterans County, Easter Seals, have worked on, is going to be a game changer. But Phil Taub, Swim with a Mission, SWAM.org. We're talking today about Fish with a Mission coming up later in July, a professional tuna tournament, but you're welcome, the public. We want business sponsors and partners. I want to reset the stage. Phil has some of his team members with us. Phil, let's just reset the stage and tell the who, what, when, where one more time.
Yes, Jack. So check out swam.org, SWAM.org. It's our first ever Fish with a Mission starting July 27th over the next 5 days. If you like to fish, this is the tournament for you. Sign up your boat now. There's an early bird special. It gets more expensive as we get closer, so don't wait. We're hoping to sign up 60 boats. We're well on our way there. And
Excuse me, Phil. We must be doing something right because I just got a message from one of our regular contributors. Neil Levesque and his brother says he's already signed up, so we have that going for us. Go ahead, Phil.
Yes. We should have started with that. Neil Levesque is going to be there at Fish with a Mission. If you want to see Neil up close watching his brother catch the largest tuna in the tournament, this is the tournament for you. Jack, we really should have started with that.
His brother. Reeling it in. His brother. Yes. Neil will mark the fish. His brother will catch it. But keep going, Phil.
He'll take a photograph of his brother catching the fish. Neil, we love you. Great supporter of your show, Jack. So we hope folks will sign up. We're looking for more sponsorship. And listen, Jack, at the end of the day, this is really to help our veterans. We just got together for the fourth time. We just did our fourth annual get-together with all of our veterans. We call it a summit. Veteran service organizations. We had more than 53 New Hampshire-based veteran service organizations in one room at the Courier a couple weeks ago with Governor Sununu, General Michaelides, Warren Perry from the state, the VA was there. And at the end of the day, Jack, homelessness amongst veterans is rising. The suicide rate amongst veterans is rising. The challenges are getting harder every day. We need to raise more money so our veteran service organizations have more resources to take care of our veterans. It's really as simple as that.
Now, you get great businesses involved on your board and helping to organize the event. Let's reintroduce our studio guests and let them jump in here because there's more great messages. And again, SWAMSWAM.org. You'll see the Fish with a Mission pop up. Mark, Todd, take it away.
So I think one of the things that is great about SWAM, Jack, is we really offer these incredible experiences that allow you to get close to some of the most badass people on earth, right? Our Navy SEALs. And, you know, Phil and Julie have started something pretty amazing, and I've been fortunate enough to come in. And, you know, Swim with a Mission is not just something that I like to spend time at. It's very personal for me. You know, 9/11 and everything that's happened to our great country just really resonated with me to get involved and to help our men and women in uniform. So, you know, this is my way of being able to serve, right? To help our veterans. There's some incredibly sad statistics that go along with our veterans that we owe them for the ultimate duty that they're serving to our nation. And so that's where I really get excited about what we do at SWAM and continuing to be that vehicle that helps our VSOs and our veterans right here in New Hampshire. And what better way to do it than with all of our experiences and something about the water. I think, you know, Phil just kind of... Phil's great. Phil's amazing at delegating. He just looks at you and says, yeah, you got this, right? So Todd and I are here, right?
Right.
But something about the water, you know, the SEALs and themselves do a lot in terms of Bud Week and the water. And this is going to be an incredible event that we're so excited to host. And again, big prizes money at the end, prizes every day, amazing opportunity between 3 and 7 every single day to see a tuna get offloaded, to have it be hung up.
And that's a great point, Mark. And before I bring in Todd, if you don't have a boat and you're not going out, you can still go. And they'll tell you in a moment down to Seabrook and the pier and see. And there'll be food trucks. You know, a lot of people go to like summer fairs and stuff. Consider this a veterans fair. Outdoors, down on the water, you don't have to be out there. You can come and watch and meet these folks. And, Mark, you said something very well a moment ago, and I'm the same way. And I know Tom Brady is an incredible athlete and I think a good person. They just had his Netflix roast, but I'm just a little different. If I could spend time with a Navy SEAL or two versus Tom Brady any day of the week, all day, I'd rather spend time with a humble person who serves. And you know what I notice, and Phil will speak to this, they're all different. We have these stereotypes from the movies and the shows, the beard, the glasses, the outfit, you know, but they're all different, the ones I've met. Some are quiet, some are not. Some are tall, some are small, some are wide, some are not. They're all different. But heart and brain and selflessness and perseverance and toughness, I think, define them. But real quickly, where down in Seabrook, let's go through that. Todd, maybe jump in here. Where, who, the dates again, and how businesses can get involved and grab one of these like deckhand sponsorships today on the website. So maybe Todd can jump in.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Jack. So yeah, July 27th through August 2nd, Seabrook, New Hampshire, Yankee Fishermen's Co-op. They've been great partners, getting the venue ready for us, partnering with our sponsorship right on Ocean Boulevard, as Phil mentioned earlier. So tons of visibility, both for our sponsors and for our partners on site, and multiple levels of sponsorship, really from 1,000, 2,500, 5,000, all the way up to some of our lead sponsors at 15,000, which we have a couple of already, which has been great. So really, really good traction right in the prime time of summer. The Yankee Fishermen's Co-op, these folks are telling us that week in July is the premier week for bluefin tuna. They said we will not be disappointed with the amount of tuna out available to catch. So that's obviously got a lot of our boats excited.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yep. Last couple of years, they've been really. And you know that area you mentioned in Seabrook, that's where a lot of the fishing boats and the whale watchers, so people know that Seabrook area, right there down on the water, very easy to get to, plenty of parking, so it's a great time. All right, well, listen, one more time, Bill and Mark, you know, the team here. If I'm a business owner, sell me right now. You got a minute on why my company, why my business should take part. Other than it's just a great time to get the employees together in a summer afternoon, but why should we do this? How does this help veterans?
So the biggest thing here, Jack, is you got to remember, swim with a mission. Our ultimate mission is bringing everybody together and helping our veterans at every single level. And I tell you what I'm going to do, because, Jack, you've been such a great supporter. Anybody that does a sponsorship because of this show, we'll take out on my boat. We'll do a little cocktail and cigar cruise out by the Isle of Shoals. I want to get you on the boat. We'll get some seals on the boat, and we'll have some fun. So that's just another reason of why you should
That's it right there. I mean, let's be honest. That's a great offer and very generous of you. Where's your boat out of, Mark?
We're going to be right there in Seabrook. So you get to come see the fish, have some fun, meet some seals, and then we'll go right from the docks out to the Isle of Shoals.
I'll beat you out there because it's about 7 or 8 minutes for me if the water's calm. No, we're close. Anyway, it's great stuff out there. And, you know, it's interesting, Phil, someone you and I know, Mike Donnelly, well, years ago I took him out to the Shoals on a weekday afternoon. He was coming in for your week. And, you know, these are folks that have been all around the world, these seals, right? And it was a beautiful day like we're talking. And it just was calm out there. And we all know Donnelly's a, because not all SEALs love to swim as much as Donnelly. He's like a long-distance swimmer, right, Phil?
Well, he thinks he is, but yeah, let's go with that.
Well, I remember the videos during COVID. He's swimming in his pool at home in Miami with weights waiting, which would bring most people down to the bottom. You'd have a drowning. He's swimming with them. But we go out, and he'd never been there. So we go out to the Shoals. It's a weekday afternoon, very little traffic. No one's there like the weekend when everyone's in the harbor. I'm showing him around, and his wife and daughter with me, and he looks around, and he goes, you're just going a mile, you know, you're just coming in here wake speed. I'm just going to have a look around. He just jumps off the boat. You know, he had his fins, and he's gone. And he comes back a few minutes later, and he goes, wow, this is beautiful out here. The bottom's beautiful. This reminds me of Greece, an island once on a mission. And it's just amazing their context. You know, he's looking at the
right.
He wanted to go down and see the bottom and swim around a little bit. I thought he was gone, and, of course, I can't see him for minutes. But, listen, take part in this. Mark's offer was generous. Phil Taub, again, the pop-up is right there, Fish with a Mission, under SWAM.org, SWAM, SWAM.org. Going to watch you folks go. I know you got a busy day. We'll connect with Margaret Culp at the Elks, and we'll talk real soon, but we'll keep it going. And, again, it's not too soon to start thinking about summer, ocean, tuna, and seals. Thank you all very much for what you do.
Thank you, Jack. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jack.
All right, Mark. Thank you.